Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now... you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score. Layla is off today. Clay Harbor, the 9-year NFL vet, is in her place today. And we are excited right now to talk to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Mike, it is Saturday NFL season, and the Bears and Packers have one on Saturday night. What's going on, man?
Oh, can't wait for that one. And it's good that they had two games scheduled for the day so that they could pick the better one to put it in prime time. Commanders Eagles can get tucked into the late afternoon window. That was a smart move by the NFL. Bears Packers getting together 13 days after their prior game with just as much, if not more, riding on it this time around. The one seed, the division championship. Maybe the loser has a hard time getting to the postseason. High stakes, high drama, and great opportunity for the Bears to settle the score.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We are pumped up about it. It's all we're talking about, obviously. But you just brought up something in my brain, and that is, yeah, the Eagles and Washington. I mean, of course, I think that people could have expected, it's just the way it works in the NFL, a little bit of a fallback for the Philadelphia Eagles and the hangover and all that, but the Washington thing, man, this year, what a and I realize injuries have played a big part, but what a colossal fall off. Do you think they're more like they are this year or more like they were the previous year?
Yeah, I think that the issue in Washington is too much of the roster is older, too many guys on one-year deals, too much focus on players whose best days may be behind them. And with Jaden Daniels, anytime you see a young quarterback come in and take the league by storm the way he did last year, defensive coordinators who will be facing that team the next year, they spend so much time trying to come up with ways to slow him down. And the other reality is Jaden Daniels is kind of slight. He's not very thick, and he doesn't have that natural suit of armor that quarterbacks who have a little more meat on their bones will possess, and that has a cumulative effect with all the hits you take. Multiple injuries this year, multiple games missed, and he never really got going. The team never really built on last year. There were issues with defense. Dan Quinn eventually took over the play calling, and we see it all the time. You know, the Bears in 84 getting to the NFC Championship game was the precursor to the next step. That's not necessarily the case for everyone. You can take a big step back, and that's what the Commanders did this year. And they got a lot of soul-searching doing. It's good that they won a game this past weekend. 8 losses in a row. If they hadn't won a game, if they had finished with an 11-game losing streak, at a minimum, you're going to have people wondering what the future should be for Dan Quinn. And I think already the way it's cratered this year, if they have another experience like that next year and we get toward the end of the season, we're putting together a hot seat list, I don't know how he avoids it if next year is more like this year than last year.
Going on, Mike, to the rivalry that is now brewing within this Green Bay-Chicago series is something the Bears are not familiar with, which is an actual quarterback rivalry when you talk about Jordan Love and Caleb Williams. I'm excited to see that develop, but I'm also seeing this void that's about to be there when Aaron Rodgers does finally quit playing football of a league-wide villain. You know, Brady has been that guy. Rodgers has been that guy. Just the guy that other cities' fan bases love to hate. Is there a chance here, because it seems like there's already a lot of naysaying going on when it comes to Caleb Williams, for Caleb Williams, if the Bears are going to be good, to step into that role as the league villain?
You know, I hadn't thought about that. I don't know whether he will embrace it the way that Rodgers has the last 4 years. He kind of took a deliberate heel turn in 2021. Before that, I think he was very concerned about not doing anything that would make anyone upset with him other than Bears fans, obviously. But he's morphed into this figure that is extremely polarizing. Caleb Williams came into the league with kind of a polarizing edge to him, and it was easy for his haters to dismiss him based on last year. But when you see what he's becoming and the throws he can make, we spent a lot of time today on PFT Live talking about his throw to DJ Moore, doing the side-by-side of that and Montana to Clark. And as soon as the play happened, as it was unfolding, I said to Jason Garrett, Montana to Clark. The thing that I hadn't realized, and Chris Sims pointed this out, Montana was at about the 11-yard line when he threw the ball. Caleb was back at the 29. That thing was a freaking laser. I mean, what a throw. And he makes throws like that, and he can play like that. And he's got a hell of a ceiling, and you match him up with Ben Johnson. This is a team, and, you know, we've just seen bits and pieces and windows and snippets the last 50 years where the Bears are good. The 85 team never really sustained and achieved the way that we thought they would. They could be laying the foundation for something pretty special, and we're kind of seeing it unfold in real time.
Just to clarify, I want you to know, because I don't, you probably haven't seen it yet, but Shady McCoy was talking about him not being good and Shadur having a chance to be better than him before the game. Then he kind of doubles down after. Well, on TikTok, which I know you're becoming a big star on, Caleb Williams actually reposted someone else making an edit of the Shady sound and saying The Rock when he says shut up and then fill in the blank. Basically, he is embracing that role as wanting to be petty and be all the things that you would need a villain type to be.
And look, every team that's successful has that one guy that the opponents hate, but the fans would not imagine being without, and the teammates love him. And he's not chippy on the field, but if he's going to lean into some of this stuff, and it makes things a little more spicy. You know, the games are what they are, but we got to get through the hours and the days and the months and the weeks between games sometimes. And if you have personalities that aren't bashful about taking the flack that comes with mixing it up, then yeah, it makes everything more interesting. It gives us stuff to write about and talk about in the off season, and that's always good.
Since we're talking about a little bit about Aaron Rodgers, Mike, I want to ask you, these last 2 weeks, Aaron Rodgers, 46-61, 508 yards, 4 touchdowns. The guy looks like he's playing some pretty good football. Do you think they got a chance to beat the Lions this week? And obviously the Lions under Dan Campbell, first in yards per play, third in points scored since he's taken over the play calling. Because in Chicago, we have a vested interest in the Lions losing this week. Because if we win, Lions lose, Bears guarantee themselves a spot in the dance.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has had some pretty significant games at Ford Field. 10 years ago, it was that Hail Mary on a Thursday night. So he didn't get a chance to play the Bears. He's getting the chance to play the Lions. He'll relish that opportunity. And with the Steelers, and I see this from time to time with them, I've been in and around Pittsburgh my whole life. I'm 100 miles south of Acrisure Stadium right now. Whenever it seems to bottom out, that's when they find a way. When you think it's hopeless, when you think it's just done, that's when the turn happens. And we saw it in the game against the Ravens that they benefited from 3 bad calls. That's the thing about bad calls. They're bad for one team, good for the other. They benefited from those calls. They got a win that maybe they shouldn't have gotten. They overpowered the Dolphins on Monday night, and here we go. And will it surprise me if they go into Detroit and beat the Lions? No, because you never know what Lions team you're going to get. They're capable of playing at a very high level, but they haven't put it together nearly enough this year. So it's been fun to watch Rodgers late in the season. The Steelers kind of left for dead after getting embarrassed at home by the Bills. And here we go again, another non-losing season, another playoff berth on the immediate horizon, and something they haven't done since 2016. The longest stretch they've ever gone without winning playoff games since the first time they won a postseason game in 1972, 9 years. It could end this season.
Yeah, and that amazingly, that's against the Chiefs pre-Patrick Mahomes, just to accentuate the point. Does that matter to ownership at all in Pittsburgh? That they keep winning every year, and that's pretty cool. That keeps people somewhat happy, but not for that organization to not have won a playoff game since 2016, to me, is jarring, Mike.
Well, there's always a disconnect between what the fans think the objectives of their favorite team are and what they really are. And part of the grift, and it is a grift to a certain extent, you got to convince the people that you're trying to win the Super Bowl every year, because that keeps the stadium full. That keeps people buying overpriced stuff, beer and food and shirts and hats and parking. And it keeps you relevant. You know, Jimmy and Jenny have on their Christmas wish list the jersey of their favorite Steeler, not the jersey of the favorite Pirate or Penguin. So you want to be relevant as long as you can. And if you torment yourself because you didn't win the Super Bowl, you're not going to be happy very often. But if you look at the balance sheet, hey, things are going pretty well. And the Steelers have been making a ton of money, as most teams are. You almost have to try. It's like a Brewster's Millions exercise to not make money in the NFL. But the difference this year, when they make the trade for DK Metcalf and they pay him a market-level contract, which they had never done to someone who hadn't played for the team before. They'd paid market value to guys on the team. They've never paid that kind of money to somebody who hadn't. And then they wait around for 2 months for Aaron Rodgers, and then they do the trade for Jalen Ramsey. They're showing signs, not of desperation, but of an aggressiveness we usually don't see from the Steelers. And it makes me think that at some level, ownership has decided enough is enough with this not getting past the first round of the playoffs. So if they don't this year, that raises an interesting question. And look, after the Bills lost, Ben Roethlisberger lit the fuse on the idea of a mutual parting. I don't know what's going to happen in Pittsburgh, but if they get to the playoffs and win a playoff game, I know what won't happen. Mike Tomlin won't be leaving.
That's a good point, and that's usually how these things go. Mike Florio, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, on with us here as he is every week on Raheem Harris and Grody Clay Harbor in for Layla today. Mike, let's talk about the Chiefs. Let's talk about the coaching carousel that's about to commence. I mean, I know Andy Reid's safe, but it seems like some type of era of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, is ending with the fact that they are now eliminated from playoff contention.
Well, and it's stunning when you consider the 7 years before 2025, when Patrick Mahomes was the starter. The floor for the Chiefs was losing in the AFC Championship in overtime. So they were at least tied at the end of every AFC Championship game for seven straight years. That's how good they've been, and that's how far they've fallen. I think that roster needs a ton of work on both sides of the ball, and Andy Reid should be the coach of the Chiefs for as long as he wants to. But it's one thing as you get deeper into your 60s to ride a wave that is taking you from one Super Bowl to the next. When you get to a point where it's like, I don't know how many years this is going to take. They asked Pete Carroll earlier this week if he thinks the Raiders are in rebuild mold, and he said yes. And it's like, well, if you're in your mid-70s, you're going to hang around for 5 years while they rebuild this thing? Like, if you're Andy Reid and you're going to be 68 in March, do you want to put in the time necessary to get back? Maybe he does, but I think it's a natural spot for him to ask himself whether it's time. He may decide it's not, but I think it's a natural spot now that the curtain has fallen on the first wave of this Chiefs dynasty, and as they regroup and prepare for what could be a second wave, is it time to pass the baton, or does he stay there to preside over kind of the rebuilding of this? And if they do rebuild it, then just let it keep riding. And, you know, don't look now, but he's moving up the all-time wins list. And if he keeps going, he'll pass Bill Belichick and he'll catch Don Shula. It all comes down to how long he wants to do it and how long he's physically able to do it. Remember, when George Halas retired, it wasn't because he wanted to. It was because he could no longer physically chase the officials up and down the field to yell at them when they gave him a bad call.
So, Mike, I see you got the Bears at 7 and the Packers at 10 in your power rankings, Pro Football Talk's power rankings, week 16. So does that mean you got the Bears to win the game this Saturday night?
My power rankings are never a predictor. And they're more of a an homage to the old days of the AP and UPI poll. That's how old I am. I remember when it was AP, UPI, and there were only 20 teams, not 25. And so, you know, you win, you move up, you lose, you go down. I don't know who I'm going to pick for Saturday night, but hey, that game at Lambeau Field, the Bears were in it right until the end. You give them the home field advantage, and the Packers without Micah Parsons. If you watched that game on Sunday, the moment he left with the non-contact knee injury that anyone that pays attention to football knows, that's probably an ACL tear. The wind comes out of the team. I think it's going to be very hard for them to mentally get over the fact that this guy who quickly became the heart and soul of the roster is gone now. I think that's going to be a factor on Saturday night. It's going to be very hard to overcome that. And when you look at what the Bears have done since starting 0-2, they won every game but one, and they understand what's in front of them. It's going to be hard to pick against the Bears. I have until tomorrow to make my official pick, but it's going to be very hard to pick against the Bears.
I think you're on the right track. And I got a texter here, too, for you, Mike. And I thought the same thing from the 708. Love the Brewster's Millions reference. But I wonder how many people miss that. That is from Dodger Boy, a great vehicle for one Richard Pryor back in the day.
Yeah, never going to miss a Richard Pryor reference. Never.
Well, look, I continue to make the same references I've always made. And I acknowledge that the number of people who will get it is going to shrink all the time. Right. I made a reference over the week, and let's see if anyone gets this.
Yeah.
When I saw Philip Rivers in his Colts uniform before the game on Sunday, I said he looks like he's getting ready to play in the Taft-Bakersfield rematch. Now, if you get that one, congratulations. You're old.
I got nothing. Anybody in the room? Anybody?
I didn't get the first one. I was one of the guys.
Clay's the youngest one amongst us, Mike. That's what you need to understand.
Yeah, I'd be
there's a great movie from 1986 with Robin Williams and Kurt Russell called The Best of Times. And the whole premise of the movie is they replay a high school game 15 years later because Robin Williams' character, Jack Dundee, dropped what would have been the game-winning pass. So he's obsessed with putting this game back together. So it's a bunch of guys who haven't played football in a long time. And in uniform, they look like Philip Rivers did on Sunday.
So how long do you think the Philip Rivers experiment lasts then? Is this going to be the season and then that's it? Go back to your family of 15?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it was just the planets lined up. And I also believe in hindsight, when they lost Anthony Richardson before the week 6 game with that freak accident in the locker room where an exercise band snapped and he got hit in the eye and broke his orbital bone, when they didn't make a move for a veteran quarterback, they had 22 days before the trade deadline. When they didn't do that, I think their emergency option from that point on always was. If Daniel Jones, who's had multiple serious injuries over the course of his career, if he suffers a season-ending injury, we're going to activate the Philip Rivers bat signal. I think he was on board with it. He talks to Shane Steichen all the time. They run the same offense at the high school where he's coaching, and I think that was always the plan. And it's amazing how close they came to winning that game on Sunday against the Seahawks, although it was the ultimate trap game for the Seahawks. If you can say they're bringing out a 44-year-old quarterback who hasn't played in 5 years. I think if the Seahawks were ever going to have a letdown, it was then, but they still won that game.
Good stuff, Mike. Don't ever let anybody tell you that your references aren't great. Even if we have to look, things are easier to look up in this day and age than they've ever been.
Take it to TikTok. I want Brewster's Millions references on TikTok. That's what I want from you.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Mike. That is Mike Florio from at Pro Football Talk. That's where you can follow him on X. He is the creator and editor and chief of Pro Football Talk. Joins us every week here on Raheem Harris and Grody on the Score. Coming up next on the program, what did the Bears learn from the loss to the Green Bay Packers? We will discuss next on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm excited for it. I think everybody's excited for it. I think, you know, even DJ said it after, you know, the game we feel as if we let them off the hook.
That's right. That is Bears quarterback Caleb Williams talking about the Packers 28-21 loss at Lambeau Field from last week.
Baby T, what the hook gonna be?
All right.
I don't need no hook on this beat.
Yeah,
I
that's
love
a
it.
Great song.
And it's a great let him off the hook. You know what I'm saying?
Baby T will surprise ye.
That surprise, I don't even know if Baby T was alive when that song came out.
That's true.
Yeah, chances are probably not.
for any reference, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you thought you were bad with Reggie Fleming. What do you think he was thinking?
Oh, my God. He's like, Reggie, that is so far out of his purview. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on The Score. Layla has the day off. Clay Harbor is in for Layla today. And we have some breaking news as well.
I love breaking news.
Breaking news on The Score is brought to you and Marshall by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is absolutely sick. DeMarco Jackson of the Chicago Bears named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. How about that? I love this. He had 7 tackles last week, a couple pass defenses. We know he had the sack, and he had a very important interception because essentially it led to what many of us believe might have been Caleb Williams' highest degree of difficulty throw and ultimately catch by DJ Moore in that game. So, God, this is just another feather in the cap of the organization this year for the Bears that they are able to bring in DeMarco. Like, it didn't, like, with TJ Edwards having been out so much this year and Tremaine Edmonds, this guy steps in, has been nothing but good in making plays.
The crazy thing is, this is his fourth NFL start. He's been kind of a journeyman, a special teams guy, but he's able to make the biggest play of the game. It was clearly the turning point of the game. You get the interception, tip it to yourself. When it felt like this might be the drive where the Browns get back within one score, and in two plays, it went from 14-3 to 21-3, and the game was essentially over at that point.
Clay, when you have players like that popping up, I mean, that you have to have that in an, or like winning teams in any sport. There's always these like peripheral guys that do big time work, and he's just a great example of it.
Think about it: the players that the coordinators or the position coaches have brought in, Nation Wright, Al Harris guy, drafted when he was in Dallas. When you got a history with these guys, it makes it easier for them to transition. Dennis Allen wanted DeMarco Jackson. He's a guy he had in New Orleans, and he comes in. He believed in him. That's why he wanted to get him here. And DeMarco Jackson had the interception. But he was good getting off of blocks, stuffing run plays. I just did a post about him on X just because I was impressed after watching the All-22 with everything he did, not just the interception that everybody saw, but good against the run, good in coverage, good on his drops, knows what he's doing, and he was a middle linebacker having the green dot in his helmet.
Where are you on X? So people, if they want to check out that breakdown of DeMarco Jackson.
Marshall Harris on air.
No, that's not even my handle. You can't even get it right. Every time we do this, he never gets my handle right. It's M. Harris on air. Yours, Clay Harbs 82.
Clay Harbs 82.
I love that you guys know each other's Twitters. That's
he
adorable.
He doesn't know mine. That's
I
the
barely
point.
Doesn't. Yeah.
That's the point. Marks is like Mark _ slash Grody or whatever.
No. My because my Instagram was hacked, we had to change it to Mark _Grody on Instagram. And because my Twitter was hacked, that had all the followers, I had to get a new Twitter as well. That is at Grody Sports.
Why didn't you just keep the same handle for all your social media?
Well, because they got
I know, but once you harassed. Had to reassign them, you should have.
Because they're still in the ether. I still have hope that someday
Mark
Grody Sports will return. It will happen.
Elon fired all the workers who would be able to help you with that.
And you're not wrong about that, man. It was like I tried in this company, the higher-ups, nobody could help me because Twitter stopped helping the companies.
Exactly.
It's pretty amazing. This Friday, before we get back into Bears-Packers, well, this is Bears-Packers. This Friday, join The Score at the world-famous Brat Stop in Kenosha for the return of the Brat Bowl featuring round 2 of Chicago versus Green Bay. our show, this show, Raheem Harris and Grody, will be there broadcasting from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., followed by Spiegel and Holmes from 2 to 6 that afternoon. We'll be joined by special guests, including Patrick Manley at 11, Henry freaking Melton at 1 o'clock.
Henry freaking Melton?
Yeah, yeah. I gotta
your
bring
that. Your affinity for Henry Melton needs to be studied.
Well, your lack of affinity for appreciating and respecting why I'm amazed by this, and I'm going to bring it up here in a second. Plus, hosts from The Fan in Milwaukee as the show gears up for a huge day the next day. That's Friday from 10 to 6 at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. It's all brought to you by Ziegler Subaru in Kenosha. For a great experience, visit ZieglerSubaruKenosha.com. All right, Clay.
Yes.
Here's the thing with Henry Melton. Here, and maybe this needed to be hit home to Marshall as well. I cover the Chicago Bears, right? And you know me a little bit. Like, I got a whole Bears thing going on. I think if you know me, you know that, like, I have majored in Bears since I was 11 years old. Like, I have a thing. Bears, right? Like the whole thing, right? I like the popular players. I like the less popular players. I like nostalgia with the Bears, anything Bears. And so when I was amazed that this guy hangs out with Henry Melton, I feel Bears. Like you don't even know me. As like, why would you not even, throughout the time, how long have we been working together? Let's just say 2+ years or
yes,
whatever.
That's
like,
fair.
Like fair, like in terms of like just whatever
all shows.
All the shows that we have done together. If you know me, you know that I would be... It doesn't have to be the headline. You don't have to say, hey, Mark, nice to meet you. I know Henry Melton. But somewhere along the line, don't you want to be like, hey, Grody, I hang out with Henry Melton and that kind of... And I would have been like, yeah, that's pretty sick.
You
I like Henry Melton.
I don't think of Henry Melton the same way that you think of Henry Melton. Henry Melton to me is just a guy that I know.
He's just Henry from the block to you.
Yeah,
I get it.
I know him through Clay. Clay and our mutual friend Amber, and that's how I met him. And he's just a cool dude that we sometimes I see out. Like, what?
Yeah, we just talk about the glory days together, me and Henry. You know, that's it. That's my boy Henry.
Oh, you
know?
Yeah, well, like from you, I get it. You played the game.
Oh, I'm not worthy to be in the same circle with
but,
you.
And
Henry.
I haven't worked. I've worked with Clay, what, 10 times we've been on a mic together, 15, whatever it is. I've been working with you and establishing this relationship, and you, and not at one point in time did you tell me. And he wasn't like, and he was a fairly. For the time, like a fairly prominent Bear, he got
money. He was a Pro Bowler.
He was a Pro Bowler, and his career with the Bears ended unceremoniously because there was an injury involved. But he's not nobody.
I didn't say he was nobody. He's somebody to me. That's why I don't even know how you actually found out that I knew him.
I don't remember.
But I think Ray was asking for guests. I was like, hey, I told Henry we'd get him on the show this week. And then Ray's like, all right, have him. And I was like, and then you were just confused almost.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't believe that I could get Henry Melton to come on the show. And like, what are you talking
it's
about,
not,
bro?
It's not even that. It's just that I didn't know about your relationship with Henry. Like I
was cheating on him with Henry Melton.
Not even
I know
that.
Clay too.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I birthed Clay into the media space, and here he is fully grown. He's well past adolescence.
All right, let's get into this a little bit here. We know what happened in the last game. The Packers beat the Bears. It comes down to one play. Caleb Williams intercepted it in the end zone by Keyshawn Nixon. So I'm going to start with you, Clay. What do you think is the biggest thing that the Bears should have learned, maybe did learn, from that first game, Bears-Packers?
I think when you look at the numbers, you look at the game, Jordan Love ate up the slot defenders. He was 7 for 7 for 150 yards when targeting the slot. So you have to have a plan. You can't leave these guys on an island because Kyler Gordon ain't walking through that door. He ain't coming back. He's an IR, right? So you got to have a plan for that. I think you have to maybe do a little bit more too deep safety looks. And you look what he did against the blitz. Against the blitz, he was 9-12, 171 yards, 3 touchdowns, 156.3 passer rating. So less blitzing, let your safeties deep a little bit, and don't try to do so much as far as pressuring him, because now at least you know that you won't have Kyler Gordon. Let your front five maybe send an occasional blitz. I'm not saying let him just sit back there and eat you apart, but he is not the guy you want to blitz and give open holes in defensive backfield. And then offensively, like we talked about earlier, Caleb started very, very slow. A lot of this has to do with Micah Parsons. On the year, they're averaging about 33 play-action passes per week. Against the Packers, last week when they played them last, they had 60% play-action passes. Most of that was to get extra blockers thrown at Micah Parsons. So I think you kind of have to throw that out the window a little bit. The Bears were 5 for 13 on drop-back passes, regular drop-back, no play actions for only 43 yards. So I think you can get more into that. But the thing that changes there, because from last week to this week, obviously is Micah Parsons, maybe Evan Williams or safety. You will be able to get bigger runs. I think you realize this safety was having a big impact on the game. When I watched y'all 22, the Bears didn't have a run over 9 yards. They still ran the ball pretty well, but they didn't have those explosive runs, which they lead the NFL in. So with Evan Williams out, run the ball, play action, you don't have to allot as many offensive players to block Micah Parsons like you would have if this was last week. So I think you learn some things, but you got to realize you might have to go back to last year's tape. Ben might have to go back to Halfley before Micah Parsons to kind of find out what he likes to do when you don't have the best or the second best edge rusher on your team for his defensive play calls.
I think you have to have your offense unlocked and unlocked in a hurry. You know, when it's really, really cold outside or when you really, really have to go to the bathroom and you're rushing to get to your door and you don't have time to be fidgeting with your keys because your body can sense that, yo, you got to go. So I got to get in here. And I think too many times, and last game being a great example, they were fidgeting with their keys on offense. You can't fidget around. They've got to make sure that Caleb Williams and this offense gets off to a clean start. That is the most important thing. The second most important thing, Dennis Allen has to make sure he has the chess pieces to operate whatever it is he wants to throw at Jordan Love. I honestly think they need to stop the pass first and just hope that their tacklers actually tackle this time. Because you can look at a couple plays in that game where they just did not tackle.
Josh Jacobs' run that put him in position to score that big touchdown.
Exactly.
Wrap up.
So I think those are the two things, though. It's don't fidget around with your keys on offense and also on defense. Stop Jordan Love first and make sure your guys just, you know, do their jobs in terms of just basic tackling on Josh Jacobs.
Right, and I do like the idea of, obviously, you know, the less blitzing because it didn't work. In fact, you were burned by it. Doesn't mean you don't give the appearance of pressure in many cases. But I will go back, too, to what you're talking about with the offense. And what was it, playing with your keys, playing with your food?
Yeah, fidgeting around.
Yeah, the Bears have now gone, and this is a regression. This is a legit criticism from earlier this year. The Bears have now gone 6 straight games without making an impact on their first offensive drive of the game. Have you been able to pinpoint anything as to the why there, Clay? Because that looked so good earlier, to the point where I felt we were beyond that, because that was a huge story last year. A lot of the Bears' first drives last year were laughable, and it's getting to be that way again over the last 6 games.
I even want to go to last week for this, because you can take away some things, you can not take away some things because you're playing against the Browns. What do we know the Browns do very well? They play defense. They're one of the best defenses in the league. They're number one in passing defense. They were 4th in yards per carry against. This was a really good defense that they were playing against, and they did a lot of things successful. Caleb Williams had a great game. His EPA was the 4th best against the Browns this season. His 8.6 yards per attempt were the 2nd best against the Browns this season. I think they had a good plan. After that first drive, you saw them improve. There was a couple drops. Kyle Manunga, if he catches that screen, that might be a house call.
Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think if you start fast, I think they've really come up with some good plays. And you got to realize this. Ben Johnson is playing chess. So he's setting some things up, some things he just wants to get on the defense's radar. He is probably the best coach, offensive play caller, at marrying up a play-action pass with the run game. Makes them look identical. So if they get a stop in the first drive on a run, okay, they've seen it now. Now Ben goes, okay, we're going to use that same movement, that same motion, that same scheme, but now we're going to throw a play-action pass off of it. So some of it, I think, is Ben setting stuff up for later in the game. And I know Andy Reid was a guy that always liked to do that. Okay, we're going to get this out early so we can set this up later in the game. So that's something that I think you got to really take into account there. Obviously, your first 15, people think it's just to get the game started as fast as possible. A lot of time, it's to set things up for later in the game that you know you'll have success on after showing it to a defense.
What we know is that the crowd is going to be ready for this game. Obvious, they're going to be pumped up on a Saturday night. They were ready in the third quarter when the Green Bay sucks chant started against the Cleveland Browns, which was just hilarious as I thought about it more because they had to be quieted down. That said, when we come back, we're going to do our halftime segment today. We'll be examining Grady Jarrett's call to action to Bears fans for Saturday's massive game against the Packers. We'll look into that and we'll give you our thoughts on all of that as it pertains to really any sport in this town when you got to get the crowd into the game. It's coming up next on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
You know, we've been talking lots of Bears so far on the show today. Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. Layla has the day off today, so Clay Harbor is with us. We just talked about what the Bears need to do differently this time, round two against the Green Bay Packers going down at Soldier Field this Saturday night. We talked about Caleb Williams versus Jordan Love and how good of a rivalry that could turn into between those two, and could Caleb Williams at some point in time become a villain? The better he gets, the better the chances are for him, because there's still lots of hate out there for Caleb Williams. So we discussed all those things. We also had Mike Florio on the show to talk pro football.
It's halftime.
Well, so going to be a big hyper crowd at Soldier Field on Saturday night, or at least that's what we are expecting to see. And there has been a call to action by one of the Bears' defensive players, and that would be Grady Jarrett. Listen to him talking about the importance of the Bears' fans.
Commended the fans.
A couple more, please.
And just the impact they may have even had on you guys. What could they do for you guys Saturday night against the Packers?
Show up and show out. Show up and show out. It need to be the loudest game we had all season. They need to rock that stadium. Soldier Field need to be shaking. And we know the chants. They like to chant. And we're going to make them happy, give them something to chant about. And we're going to go put up a good showing for them.
I like what Grady Jarrett had to say. And I'm going to use the text right at the top as a launching point to further this discussion, because it goes right into what I would like to say. From the 414, says, I think you guys got a call on the crowd to stay loud and consistent no matter the momentum. It's an advantage to be used whether you're winning or losing. One thing I hate, guys, as a person who is, I don't know, I've probably been to 25 to 30 Bears games just as a fan, and then numerous as a media member. I hate when people tell crowds how to fan, and it happens a lot, I feel like, with Bears fans. And I get it. Like, if you're a player, I have no problem with a player on the sideline inviting the crowd to get into it, using their arm. Like, that's cool. That's fun. That's engagement between the player and the crowd. That's an intimate relationship. What I don't like is when people, you know, outside of other players, call out the crowd and insist that they are better. And that's what it feels like a lot of the time with Bears crowds.
Okay, so my position on this has changed completely after understanding the context of what Grady Jarrett is saying, right? Because you're saying you don't like players telling the crowd what to do.
Basically. No. I don't have a problem with that's the exception. I don't have a problem.
But you're saying at the game.
Like, yeah, throwing your arms up. And I don't even know. Like, I don't want to interpret Grady Jarrett as having been condescending to the fans. He's answering a question. He's new here. All that stuff. So he can't possibly have a real feel for what a Bears crowd is like.
Let's run back that question that he was asked.
Commended the fans.
Couple more, please.
And just the impact they may have even had on you guys. What could they do for you guys Saturday night against the Packers?
Show up.
Okay. So, like, at first I was like, why is he talking to the fans in this manner? It seems like he's not condescending necessarily, but patronizing the fans. I mean, the fans, they showed up in sub-zero degree weather and did the thing that they did, and he heard the chants. Obviously, he referred to them there. Green Bay sucks. But if you're asked a question point blank, what was he supposed to say there?
Oh, yeah, no, I have no issue. Like, that's just the audio we played to discuss the topic, because I think it goes deeper. Like, I've heard people on this station in the past criticizing Bears crowds, getting into it at the wrong time. And, yeah, there can be some criticism.
Bad.
Like, I understand all of that, but these are fans who paid a lot of money to go to these games. You could fan how you want to fan as long as it's legal. And you don't want to hurt the team, and that's what it can do if you're loud.
You came to see a win, didn't you?
You came to see a win.
Well, then help them get the win by not making noise.
Right,
when
but
the
you don't got you don't
field.
Have to be a jerk in telling the fans how to fan.
I don't think he was being a jerk.
No, I don't think. Like, this has nothing to do. We should not even play the Grady Jarrett.
Oh, okay.
At this
so
point,
maybe I'm missing
frankly.
The
you are missing it. You are missing it. Yeah, because it's not Grady Jarrett I'm mad at. I'm mad at other people who like the
texters. Do you have an example?
I do have examples, but I don't want to bring them to the air right now.
Okay.
No, I could say that fans do have an impact in the game. I mean, I've been to games to where you can't hear yourself think, and it changes things. Your audibles have to be all hand signals. You can miss something. I've been on teams that have missed something and have lost games because you couldn't hear the audible or you missed the signal, and that is real. So that is real that fans have an impact on the game. I remember my last playoff game I ever played in, I was with the Lions, Detroit Lions. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I played for the Detroit Lions, division rival here, and we're in Lumen Stadium in Seattle. Couldn't hear yourself think. Your ears are ringing. And one of our players missed a check. Receivers missed a check. Stafford gave to him, threw the ball to him, intercepted. That was the game. We had a chance to win. It is real. But I get it. Like, you're making $48 million and you're telling the fans to come and show up. For me, I always wanted to think, I'm going to do my job either way. I'm going to be prepared if it's loud. I'm going to be prepared if you can hear a pin drop. Either way, if we're in silent count all day, and silent count is tough, especially when you got a couple of guys banged up on that Packers offensive line, when you're trying to look at the center's head movement for the edge rusher coming, can I see him? The snap count and the guy, if it's a blitz come, it helps. It helps a lot, but I'm under the impression, like, the way I played is, it doesn't matter to me. I hope they show up, but I am so focused on what I'm doing. I'm not worried about what the crowd is doing. But that being said, let's show up and show out, Chicago.
When you said that, Grody, the initial fans at the game, players at the game getting the fans hyped. Is it bad? The first thing that came to mind was the cornerback, Tyrique Stevenson, getting people involved that he shouldn't have been getting involved last year in Washington.
Stay out.
That was the first thing that came to my mind.
That's
though.
A jaded mindset
we've
you
come,
have.
We've come a long way, is my point. We've come a long way.
Yeah.
Well, what made that worse was that was a road game.
Yeah, that was a road game. I love this.
That's true.
From 217. My call to Grady Jarrett. Step up your game. Your being in all caps. You play like Grady from Sanford and Son.
That's awesome.
Grady's actually had a decent couple of games the last few games. He's been getting more pressure. He's getting healthier. Obviously, this is an aging guy. He had that little operation on his leg, and I think he is starting to make an impact, and I think this week, this Saturday, Grady Jarrett will make a big play.
I like this text also, 773. This is a great text. Grody, what has been the loudest Bears game you have been to? I feel like the loudest I have been to was the double doink game. Any can you think of that were louder?
Yeah, it was pretty loud, and I was on the sideline for that, so I heard it all. God, I want to say the I was at the I guess it was 2011 technically, but the NFC title game between the Bears and Packers was pretty loud. That was a pretty loud day at Soldier Field. Here's the thing, too. Like, Soldier Field is not a great stadium as far as acoustics are concerned. Like, it's just not a loud stadium.
It's not Seattle. It's not these other places.
It's Minnesota.
Like, you can't just walk in there and make a little, because that's what it is. It's not like these fans are like louder and yelling louder. Sometimes it's just not a great stadium for that sound. And what was the text here? There was a text. It was actually a good text. I didn't like. Oh yeah, come on, Grody. Dan, I don't know who Dan is. Dan was telling fans that screaming while on offense didn't help. Don't start being disingenuous.
I think he's talking about Dan Bernstein.
Oh, Bernsey? Okay. Of course you want them to be quiet. There's this really fine line in my head of, like, whether it's reporters or whomever, like, condescending to Bears fans. I guess I'm just being very protective right now of Bears fans when it comes to all that. And it's not just about paying the money. It's just that being that they are loyal Bears fans. And I don't know how you guys feel in general about prompts from stadiums.
Oh, like the on the scoreboard?
To get loud. They do it at the Bulls. The Bulls are just as guilty as any team in the world of doing that
stuff. I'm a big fan of one particular prompt. Quiet, please, offense at work. Because that makes all the sense in the world, right, Clay?
Yeah,
absolutely.
How annoyed do you get when you're at home and the fans are making noise when you're trying to run your offense?
Yeah, it's like if it's loud and we're on offense and we're trying to use the snap count, the cadence to our full advantage, make somebody jump off sides and use that as a weapon. Yes, please be quiet so we can get these dudes to jump.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I just think there's a way of going about it. I guess the Bears have been good because, yeah, they used to have the quiet, please, Bears at work thing. So it's a real deal thing. But even when they had the horn thing that they had going on defense for a while, it was all like they're okay. I don't think I've done a great job here expressing my thoughts on all this. It just seems like for decades now, there's just been this building idea that Bears fans need to be better, that they need to be louder, and I resent that notion. Like, okay. Like as if Bears fans are not doing their
jobs.
That's
not how I came into this.
I know.
So
that's what I'm. But that's what
maybe
I'm.
There's a little disconnect there. Okay,
yeah, there was a little disconnect with you. From me with too. You. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
take it. It's personal to me. That's really what this is.
I gather that.
Yeah. That's what it really comes down to.
I'm absorbing that.
You're absorbing that. So yeah. I'm sorry if this was a little bit disconnected, but that's where
I'm glad we were able to workshop and talk it out though.
Yeah.
And get the fans involved through the text.
Exactly.
And get a professional football player's opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some people are agreeing with me, some are disagreeing with me, and really that's the essence.
My favorite text, by the way, 779. I'm sure ancient Roman gladiators had beef with the crowd back then too.
Probably.
Bad news.
That's it for halftime. Halftime is ended, which means we are headed to 5 on It. We've got 5 great topics that we have selected to discuss with you next on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. Layla is off today. Clay is in the house on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.